Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know this program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I particularly want to thank Gary so much for his support. He supported the show through support.greatdetectives.net. And you can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. You can also become an ongoing monthly contributor to the show by going to patreon.greatdetectives.net. I have more than 40 listeners supporting the show that way. But now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date, June the 11th of 1945.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. As San Francisco's busiest private detective, Mike Shane can be found at almost any hour at almost any spot in the city, except one, perhaps, his apartment. Yet right now, that is just where we find him. Of course, he's there only long enough to pick up his overcoat and two theater tickets. Waiting impatiently in the hall doorway is his attractive assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Mike, what's keeping you?
I can't find the tickets.
Oh, fine. Fine. The master detective.
Oh, I know. I know. I left them in my other suit.
Say, Mike. Somebody's coming up your stairs. A strange woman.
Yeah? I don't know any strange women.
You better not. Your date's with me tonight.
Good evening. Is this the apartment of Michael Shane?
Yes, it is.
And you're Mrs. Shane?
Well, no. I'm his assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Oh, I'd like to see Mr. Shane. It's very, very important.
Well, we were just going
I'm
out.
I'm sorry to impose, but I'm afraid it's a matter of life and death. Would you tell him that, please?
That's all right. I heard it.
Oh, Mr. Shane, you are Mr. Shane?
Yes, yes. Come in.
My name is Mary Noble. I arranged to be in your neighborhood tonight, Mr. Shane. I had to talk to you.
Yes? Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. I brought my friends to visit some people across the street at the El Tovar Apartments. Then I slipped away so I could see you. Without them suspecting.
I don't understand. Without who suspecting?
Mr. and Mrs. Pringle and Chico.
Chico?
That's Mr. Sauvadale.
Oh.
I told them that I'd stay in the car, that I needed fresh air. You see, Uncle Briggs lets me go out only with his friends.
Hmm?
People who will spy on me and tell him what I do. Chico says he loves me, but I know that I'm not pretty. He wants my money.
Now, just a second. You said Uncle Briggs. Would that be Briggs Noble?
Yes, the rich, the upright Mr. Briggs Noble. I'm his niece, and he's trying to poison me.
Oh, now, really?
You don't mean that, I'm sure.
Oh, but I do. For the past 2 weeks, I've had strange sick spells. I'm sure it's the poison.
What does your doctor say?
I haven't had a doctor.
Hmm?
I've never told anyone, but I can't stand it any longer. Uncle Briggs wants me out of the way. I'm a burden.
I can't imagine you being a burden to a millionaire.
That's what's so strange. He's rich, yet he wants more and more money. Next month I'll be 21, and then I inherit my father's money. It's in trust for me. Uncle Briggs wants my money. That's the only way I can explain it.
And just what do you want me to do?
Talk to my uncle. Warn him that you know everything. You'll protect me. Be my bodyguard.
Oh, now, Miss Noble, I'm not that kind of a detective.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I can't say. I'm not sure. I might talk to your uncle, but I'm certain you've imagined things.
I see. I thought you really help people.
Hmm?
But I was wrong. No one will help me. No one.
Miss Noble, now, if you'll tell me. Wait a minute. Miss Noble!
Well, that gal certainly got off the merry-go-round backwards. Mm-hmm.
She seemed perfectly reasonable when she first walked in.
But that talk of being a burden on a rich uncle, spied on by his friends and poison.
I don't know. She walked the fence between sanity and, well, the opposite.
She was scared, Blue, anyway. She almost got me going.
People do talk strangely when they're in terror. She said those friends were across the street.
Mm-hmm. The Altavar.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what. Let's go after her.
There. There she is, Mike, crossing the street.
Yeah. Miss Noble. Mary Noble. Mary. Mary, stop!
Mike, that taxi! Mike!
Honest, mister. She fell right in front of my cab. I didn't run over her.
Listen, she's dead, isn't she?
I'm telling you, I saw her fall.
You mean she tripped?
No, no. She slumped in a heap right in front of me. I didn't hit her.
Maybe he's right, Mike.
Mm?
Look at her dress here. There's no dirt from the wheels. She wasn't dragged.
Sure, I stopped in time. My bumper hardly touched her.
Yes. Yes, huh? It's Mary.
Hurry, hurry.
Good heavens.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes.
She's dead.
She's dead. Oh, William, I told you we shouldn't have left her in the car.
Well, she said she wanted some fresh air. How could we know this would happen?
I take it you are Mr. and Mrs. Pringle?
Why, yes. Do we know you, sir?
No, I'm Mike Shane, a private detective.
Oh.
This girl just left my apartment.
Oh, so that's where she went.
Huh?
She got out of the car and said she wanted to take a walk.
You her chauffeur?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't understand, sir. Why did Mary go to you?
She thought somebody was trying to kill her, that her life was in danger.
Ah, rubbish. Tommy rot. The girl imagined things.
Maybe not, Mr. Pringle. You're a good friend of my boss, but I don't mind saying...
Oh, shut up, Dan, for heaven's sake.
Please, gentlemen, gentlemen. Poor Mary. She lies dead. What must we do?
We must go call an ambulance.
We'll call more than an ambulance, honey. We'll call the inspector.
Don't misunderstand me, Mike. It's a sad case, but you admit yourself she was neurotic. This poison business was all in her mind.
Possibly, Inspector. Possibly, but the only way you can be sure of it is to investigate.
And you asked for an autopsy, Mike. All right, I've ordered it against my own judgment. That's as far as I can go.
You know, we really don't have any proof, Mike. Maybe she just had a heart spell and fell in front of the taxi.
Police certainly can't investigate Briggs Noble on such weak evidence. He comes from one of the oldest families in San Francisco. He's rich, society. Murder isn't his line, Mike.
All right, Inspector, all right. But will you do one thing more for me?
What is it?
Go out with us to see Briggs Noble.
Oh, Mike, you're the most stubborn. We gotta know what we're talking about first.
I'll do the talking if you want. I'll take the blame. But I want you there in case.
Wait a second. Yes?
Autopsy report, sir. Mary Noble. Examination of stomach shows heavy dose of poison.
Mike, you were right.
Sergeant, what was the poison? Arsenic?
Well, I can't tell, sir. Autopsy surgeon says the victim's hands are clenched tight and toes turned under. He says that the same symptoms of a rare native poison from South America.
I see. Mike, is there anything you want to ask him?
No. No, just tell him if they find anything else to call you at the home of Briggs Noble.
In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane. Ladies and gentlemen, sludge in an engine is terrible stuff. It sticks to the pistons, valves, and other working parts, and it slows down and interferes with smooth engine performance. The sludge formed by some oils is so sticky that it doesn't ordinarily drain out when the oil is changed, but continues to accumulate. The only way to get rid of it is to have your engine flushed out occasionally. Your Union Oil Minuteman can perform this service for you quickly and cheaply. He has a special solvent action flushing oil known as Cleanse Oil. Now, Cleanse Oil is harmless to your engine, but it cuts the sludge in a hurry. So when the Cleanse Oil is drained out, the sludge flushes right out with it, leaving the engine nice and clean. Then, with a fresh supply of pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil, you're all set for hundreds of miles of clean, safe engine operation. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Engine Flushing Service. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have just entered the ornate library of Briggs Noble. Noble stands in front of the fireplace.
This is the first time I've had the pleasure of meeting you, Mr. Shane. I'm told you already know my friends here.
Yes, yes, but the inspector doesn't.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle, Mr. Sabadell, and of course my chauffeur, Dan Casey.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I imagine, Mr. Shane, that you've come here to tell me my niece appealed to you for protection.
Yes, she did, Mr. Noble. I told your friends that.
Yes. Oh, poor girl. I never understood her. She was so moody.
Hmm?
I tried to make her happy. Gave her everything she asked for, except the one thing she really wanted. A pretty face. So she chose the final remedy.
You mean she committed suicide?
What else? She threw herself under a taxi cab.
It's not that simple, Mr. Noble. The autopsy shows she was not killed by the taxi.
Really?
No, she was poisoned.
What? Poisoned? Why?
Quite bent on death, wasn't she?
Perhaps not, sir. You see, we think she was murdered.
Oh, no. No.
Did she have any enemies, Mr. Noble?
None. Nor many friends. I suppose that was the trouble.
Do any of you know if she was sick during the past couple of weeks?
Why, yes. I remember one day. I was driving her and Mr. Savadell. She almost fainted. You remember it, sir?
I remember.
Did she tell you, Mr. Savadell, that she planned to see a detective tonight?
No, I come in, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle with her. I give Maria a box of candy. We make small talk.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps saying we must all go visit some friend. But that is all. It's difficult to remember.
Mm. Mr. Noble, your niece said she was to come into an inheritance on her 21st birthday. Where will that money go now?
Well, I'm the last member of the family. It'll come to me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I know.
Our family has had a tragic history. All violent deaths. Mm. My brother Edward died in a shipwreck off China. My nephew, Grant Noble, disappeared in his plane over Brazil. Dodd Noble, Mary's father, was crushed in a train wreck.
Aren't the women alive?
No. Edward and Dodd married, but their wives are gone, too. It's been very, very depressing.
Mr. Noble, it's time to be frank with you. Your niece came to me for protection from you. She said you were trying to poison her.
Why, that's fantastic, Miss...
She thought that about me. Poor girl. I told you she had strange moods.
It's a very weak explanation, sir. You admit she had no enemies and that you would inherit her estate.
Why should I want her money? I have more now than I want. You gentlemen don't realize the penalties of wealth.
That's neither here nor there, sir. Mary Noble was poisoned. She named you. It's my duty to determine the facts.
I see, Inspector, that you're determined to make me out a murderer. All I can say is this. I'm not guilty.
But, Mr. Noble...
Furthermore, if you insist upon bringing charges against me, I'm a man of wealth and power. I can employ the best legal counsel. I think you'd look very embarrassing in court. It could not benefit your reputation.
I see. Thank you for the warning, sir. And good night.
Well, I don't mean to tell you boys your own business, but why didn't you search the house for poison?
Well, for one thing, the killer would be smart enough to remove it. Second, I don't think Noble is our man. He has no motive.
Don't tell me the brave inspector is scared out.
No,
by
no. Look at it this way, Mike.
Poison
is one of the subtlest types of murder.
Mm-hmm.
The killer figures that because nobody sees him actually give the victim poison, no jury will convict him on circumstantial evidence. Noble has a perfect alibi. She committed suicide. He ought to know. He's our uncle.
If it were suicide, the girl would hardly run to Mike to protect her life and then take poison.
Unless she hated her uncle enough to try to frame him with her murder.
Well, let's get rid of this suicide alibi right now. Inspector, if she took poison, it must have been in some container.
Uh-huh.
Now, we didn't find anything suspicious in her purse, but she would have to leave the bottle someplace. Now, where was she just before she died?
In your apartment. But she didn't swallow anything there.
And before that, she was in her car. So how about giving that a quick once over, huh?
Okay, by me. Suppose it's the car over there by the driveway?
Well, we'll find out.
Uh-huh. It's a limousine with a chauffeur's compartment.
Here's the light switch.
See anything, Mike?
Magazines, lap robe, newspapers and stuff. Now, there's nothing under this cushion. No bottle.
Well, then she didn't have any poison with her in the car.
That still doesn't rule out suicide.
Hey, wait a minute, Inspector.
What?
We've been a couple of dopes. Mary accused her uncle. We accepted that and forgot everyone else.
Got anybody in mind?
Yes, the autopsy report said Mary's hands and toes were curled up tight, the symptoms of a South American poison. Who in that house there is a Latin?
Savadel, of course.
That's enough for me, kids. We're making a round trip right now.
But of course, gentlemen, I am from South America. My father was a trader on the Amazon River.
Then maybe it's more than coincidence that Mary was killed by a rare native poison from South America.
What? Why, you didn't tell us that.
A poison from... Oh, Santa Maria. Gentlemen, this is bad.
You're telling us.
No, you do not understand. You have not been in this room before. Look on the walls.
Hmm?
Mr. Noble has poison spear, poison arrow, poison darts. Yeah. All from South America.
So, what about this, Mr. Noble?
It's true.
Oh, fine.
Pringle brought them to me from Ecuador. They were poisoned, but not now. I had the stuff all soaked off when I mounted them.
Mr. Pringle, is it possible to use that poison after it's been removed?
Well, I don't know. The natives in South America use a number of poisons. They act in different ways.
I can assure you that Mary did not die of poison from this collection.
Ah?
Where she procured it is a question for you detectives.
You still insist it was suicide?
I do.
Mike?
Hmm?
Maybe there's another way we can settle that.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, Mary seems to have been a very lonely girl. It's very common for lonely girls to keep diaries.
Hmm?
Well, if Mary kept one, perhaps it would tell us what she intended to do.
Yes. I gave her a diary for Christmas. She always kept it on the top of her desk up in her room.
Swell. Then up to the bedroom we go.
That's her desk over there by the window.
Mm-hmm. And we'll find it on top, huh?
That's right. It's a big green and gold book.
Well, I don't see it, Mike.
Maybe it's in the drawer.
No. No, just the usual stuff. Well, it's not here, Mr. Noble.
No, that's very strange. Could she have hidden it?
Well, I don't know if it's important enough to make a search right now. We'll go on with the questioning.
Noble, do you mind...
You're going?
Well, yes. My wife and I'd like to get home. If there's nothing we can do for you, we'll say goodnight.
Well, the inspector may not have done with you.
Oh, I think so. If we need you, Mr. Noble can give us your address and phone number.
Yes, of course. Well, good night, then.
Mrs. Pringle. One moment, please.
Pardon?
Your purse. Hasn't it taken on weight very suddenly?
What?
May I look inside, please?
Why, this?
Well, Mrs. Pringle?
A diary.
Well, I didn't know. Mr. Noble motioned to me to open my purse, and he slipped something in. I didn't know it was a diary. You see, it's a different color.
I'll admit it. I misled you all. I slipped the diary into her purse while you were searching the desk.
It certainly doesn't help your case, Mr. Noble.
I didn't know what peculiar ideas Mary might have written down. I wanted to protect her memory. And yes, my reputation.
Mike?
Hmm?
Did you read anything in it?
Nothing very unusual so far. No mention of suicide. Mr. Savadel, I gather that you proposed to Mary.
Oh, many times.
We never followed up our questions with you either, sir.
I know what you have in mind, but you were wrong. Hmm. I killed the girl I love? No.
Mr. Inspector, excuse me. I realize this diary episode with my wife looked suspicious. But since Mr. Noble has admitted the fault, I think we're cleared. Would you let us go home now? Tonight's been a great strain on my wife.
Well, we'd all like to go home.
Well, I wouldn't ask it, sir, but my wife is not in good health.
I see. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, certainly, by all means.
All right, Mr. Pringle.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Yeah, good night. Good night.
And now, Mike?
Wait. Okay. Now, Mr. Noble, if you please, the address of Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I suppose you boys know this may be a wild goose chase.
Oh, I don't think so, Angel. The Pringles were a little too anxious to get home.
And I'm still not satisfied about that diary in the purse. They put on quite an innocent act, the way Noble came to their rescue.
Yeah. There's the house, number 1511.
Yeah, but it's all dark.
That's funny. We drove slowly so we'd get here ahead of them. We wanted to catch them with whatever they're up to.
Wait, Inspector. There's a light in the garage.
Yeah. Okay, stop your engine, Mike.
Close. close that door gently, Mike.
Okay. Now, leave us walk on the grass so they won't hear us.
And keep in the shadows.
Look. Look. They're both in the garage.
Let's cross the driveway.
What in blazes are they doing? They got a bucket of... Uh-oh.
Yeah. Pringle's got some of those javelins. Poison javelins.
Soaking them in the bucket.
All right. Let's make an entrance.
This water isn't hot enough. It's got to be boiling.
Well, I'll go heat a kettle, then.
Don't bother, Mrs. Pringle. You're in enough hot water right now.
William!
Shane! Inspector! What's the meaning of this?
So you cook the spear points in hot water to extract the poison?
I don't know. I was just trying to find out, to see if it still had power.
Mike, there's a car coming up the driveway.
Yeah. Who is it? Why is he blowing the horn?
Oh, I don't... Hey, cut it out! Get off that horn!
There's something wrong. Come on.
There's a man slumped over the steering wheel.
I'll pull him off the horn. Okay, mister. Raise up.
Holy jump. It's Sabadell.
Yes. Unconscious.
But how? Who?
Here's the answer. Remember the symptoms of that South American poison? Tight, clenched hands? Look.
We'll return to Mike and Phil in just a moment. Friends, it's pretty safe to say that carbon is the number one enemy of your automobile engine. Carbon burns valves, gums up piston rings, and may lead to expensive repair bills. Therefore, anything that reduces carbon formation is of interest to careful drivers. And that's just what Triton Motor Oil does. Yes, that's right. Triton Motor Oil cuts down carbon. Why? Well, nearly all carbon comes from the lubricating oil, and not from the gasoline, as so many people think. But all lubricating oils are not the same in their carbon-forming tendencies. In fact, in a recent comparative test made with the 7 leading motor oils sold here in the West, Triton contained 38% fewer carbon-forming elements than the next best oil, 86% less than the average. The secret of Triton's superiority lies in the Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it's been patented by Union Oil Company. So, friends, with mechanics as scarce as they are today, why not take advantage of the extra protection the 100% pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil will give you against carbon? You can buy Triton motor oil at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. An ambulance has carried the unconscious Sabadell to the hospital. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have returned to the Pringle garage with Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I know it looks bad, gentlemen, but you didn't give us a chance to explain.
Well, you've got your chance now, Mr. Pringle. Make the most of it.
You were out here in your garage trying to get poison off two South American hunting spears. What for?
Well, because they're the same type spears I brought Noble from Ecuador. I wanted to collect the poison and send it to the police.
So you people could compare it with the poison found in Mary's stomach.
Yeah.
Well, you're suddenly very helpful, Mrs. Pringle, after you tried to smuggle Mary's diary away from the police. But I didn't mean to. That's what made William and I think Mr. Noble might be guilty after all.
Looks to me like all three of you are in the same boat.
At least we don't have to consider Sabadell any longer.
Yes. As I see it, Sabadell was really in love with Mary. He tore over here to the Pringles for the same reason we did, because he figured they were in cahoots with Noble.
Then collapsed in his car from the same poison.
Okay, but which of these three did it? And is the poison from these three spears?
Wait a minute. I got a new angle, Inspector. Mary was killed by the poison. Sabadell got enough of it to send him to the hospital, but nobody else has keeled over tonight.
That's right.
Then what did Mary and Sabadell eat or drink that nobody else touched?
Did all of you people eat dinner together?
Yes, we did.
Well, then it's not the food. Did either of you see Mary or Sabadell drink anything which you didn't?
Not that I remember.
Well, they must have a food or drink or something that... Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. How about candy? Savadell said he brought Mary a box tonight.
Oh, he always did. Mary was a candy fiend. Ate chocolates all day long.
Did you eat any tonight?
Oh, no. They're much too sweet for me.
And you, Mrs. Pringle?
I never touched chocolates.
Then they did eat something which you didn't.
If Mary always ate chocolates, that would be an ideal way to give her the poison. The sugar in the stuff might slow down the effect. We may be wrong, but we've got to find that box of chocolates.
Well, the last I saw of it, Mary and Mr. Savadell had it with them in the car. But we searched the car, Mike.
Yes, honey, yes, but we were looking for a bottle of poison. We weren't thinking of candy. There was an awful lot of stuff in that car. We've got to look again, and it better be fast.
I put the car in the garage here just a minute ago. If I'd known you fellows wanted to look at it...
That's all right, Dan. That's all right. Thanks for letting us in.
Sure. Anything else I can do for you?
No, thanks, Dan.
Okay, if you want me, I'll be in my room. It's right overhead.
All right. Okay, Dan. Thanks.
We better look good this time, Mike.
Yeah.
You need more light in there?
Nope. Did you find anything, Inspector?
No.
Nor I. Just the same stuff I found before.
It's hopeless, Mike. No killer would poison the girl and leave a box of chocolates high and dry for the police. He wouldn't be that dumb.
It isn't a question of dumbness, Inspector. It's a question of time.
But he'd still get rid of the chocolates. We don't know where to look for him.
Now, let me think. He wouldn't throw the chocolates out of the car. Somebody might pick them up and eat them.
That means he must have brought them back here.
Think, Inspector, think. Would he destroy the chocolates or hide them?
He'd destroy them.
That means the box, too. He'd have to burn it.
I saw an incinerator on this side of the garage.
Lead us to it, Angel.
Mike, you got a hold of something. Well, pull it. Come on, pull it out.
Here you are.
The box of chocolates. Open it up.
They're mashed up a bit, but we can analyze them, and if the fingerprints aren't too mussed over...
Well, they probably are. Wait a minute, honey.
Yeah?
Back at my apartment, didn't Mary say she had told no one else but you and me that her uncle was trying to poison her?
Yeah, that's right.
Yet one other person tonight seemed to know something about it. When we were looking at Mary's body, he made a crack about Noble. It was Dan Casey.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Shane.
Yeah, do you mind if we come in for a minute, Dan?
Why, glad to have you.
Dan, tonight when we found Mary Noble's body, I heard you start to tell Mr. Pringle that your boss could stand some investigating.
Well, I guess I was right, wasn't I?
Perhaps, but before Mary came to me, she hadn't told her fears to a living soul. Yet you were able to name Briggs Noble.
Well, you know, that's just one of those things.
Mind if we take a little look around your room, Dan?
Now, hold on. What is it you want?
Well, here's one thing we want on your dresser. This dish of chocolates here.
What of it? Miss Mary gave them to me.
You mind eating a piece?
No, of course not.
That's it. Oh, by the way, I got a few more chocolates here in my pocket. It's the same kind.
Huh?
They had a few ashes on them, but I cleaned them off. Good as new.
Ashes?
Yes, from the incinerator. But I'll just add them to your dish here and mix them all around like that. Now, would you eat another?
Yeah.
Go on. Eat a piece. Eat two or three.
No. No, I won't.
No. I didn't think you would. Okay, Inspector, I think this is where you take over.
I insist. You must have a drink. A cup of peace between the inspector and myself.
Well, I guess I would drink to then.
I can understand your suspicions of me, gentlemen, when I kept telling you it was suicide.
But what gets me, Mr. Noble, is how you could employ a chauffeur for months and not recognize him as your own nephew.
You forget I hadn't seen him for over 10 years. When he disappeared in his plane over Brazil, he was hardly more than a boy. But he was dead. The whole family thought he was dead.
But, Mr. Noble, he was Mary's cousin. Could he still inherit her money?
Certainly. The inheritance was so arranged that it would go either to him or, if dead, to me.
So he planned to disappear after tonight and come back in a few months as the long-lost heir. Quite a scheme. chocolate-coated murder.
Say, speaking of that, do you think there's a candy store open at this hour? I'd like to buy Phil a box of chocolates.
No, thanks, no. After tonight, I've lost my sweet tooth.
Oh, but maybe when you see him, honey, nice, big, luscious bonbon.
Mike Shane, you haven't given me a box of chocolates in years. If you do it now, I'll know what to expect.
Oh, no, you won't, Angel. Oh, no, you won't.
Tune in again next week at 8 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at otrwesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. And if you were wondering, the somewhat unofficial title is Mary Noble Suspects Uncle Briggs, which I guess is kind of true, just at any rate, really would like official titles for some of these. They did work in a few red herrings, throw suspicion on the uncle, and I have to admit I was a little surprised by who the murderer was. Maybe it's just because the plan was so crazy. But then again, it almost worked. All right, well, on to some listener comments and feedback. And we have a review at Stitcher.com. Tina writes, I'm such a big fan of old-time detective adventures. Have been since discovering them on XM. This podcast now makes it possible to listen to them wherever and whenever. The host is easy to listen to, and the curated episodes are top-notch. Highly recommended. Well, thanks so much, Tina. I appreciate you taking the time to leave a review. That will actually do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with The Crime Files of Flamond. And join us back here.